The last couple of weeks I've been sharing from the book of Philippians, and last two Sundays before today, two chapters, chapters 1 and 2. Today I'd like to jump over to Ephesians chapter 3. If you have a Bible, you may want to turn there. But I want you to think with me for just a couple of minutes. Imagine you know this couple who recently experienced the birth of their first child. Such a tender moment, right? Pictures like this get shared all around the world every day. And if you keep looking closely at this baby, you will see that they're wearing the Grace Lighthouse beanie. I don't know how that got in there. Subtle communication. Precious picture. Okay, we'll keep going. The fact of the matter is families grow because babies are born into that family or adopted into that family. These two documents that you're about to see state the official details of my daughter Amanda and son Aaron, who were born to Beth and me. Every so often I just verify that we took home the right ones. Okay? And a quick flashback to 2002. Beth, get your tissues. Can you believe it? This is almost 18 years ago. Amanda's just 20 months older than Aaron. And guess what? They grow. So, anyway, yes, I knew that would happen, like a lot of, but touching the mother's heart for sure. Anyway, but just to think of the last 18, 20 years have gone by so quickly. And I just treasure every day, thank the Lord for his blessings, and just getting to do this as a family. I don't deserve this. God is just so merciful, so kind, and I get to spend eternity with these guys forever. And Lord willing, we're going to all be together. This is the beauty of knowing Christ our Savior. And I want to talk about the importance of knowing what family you're a part of this morning. It doesn't really matter what family you were born into. You really need to make sure that you know the family that matters most. The psalm writer, King David, said in Psalm 139, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Just think of the brilliance of the design of the human body. It's just crazy. The fact that you can tell this finger and you know exactly which finger you're talking to do this and to do that and when to move and what to do, and you can tell your toes what to do and how all this stuff just works. It just works. And I'm not saying we don't have problems and we don't age and things break, and that's all, you know, it's part of the condition that we have, and that's sin, and sin has impacted all of our lives. You can't get around it. You're the living product of what sin does to human beings. Me too. This isn't just pointing the finger at you. I'm pointing it right back at myself here this morning. And I'm not saying that sin is, there's certainly sowing and reaping where we make decisions and we make bad decisions and we pay the consequences for those decisions. But, you know, just life, physical things that break down in our own bodies. And God made it very clear that when sin entered the world, that there would be a decay process. And that process is still impacting human beings right now. But, Jesus, so we need to don't focus so much on that this thing is broken and you're going to die. Focus on that you have a Savior who loves you and has a perfect remedy for you to bring you into his family forever. God did not leave you just to suffer in your sin. He made you so that you would know him intimately and personally, and that you would be able to lay hold of verses like David when he says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Psalm 51, that David, King David's one of his most brutal moments of his life. Murder happened. He had committed adultery. His own child from that adulterous relationship had died. And in this moment of just honesty, let's just classify it as the honest moment of King David, God refers to David, a man after my own heart. Even if all that David had done would reflect poorly on God and the nation of Israel, God was still faithful to David. And he says, "For I was born a sinner." Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. See, we were made in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. You should touch yourself right now and say, "I am created in the image of God." You are not here by accident. This is not an accidental moment. This is a great moment. Your life is precious because God says you have value. You have the image of God in you. God has a perfect solution that is spelled out for you and for me in the book of Ephesians. Guess what? He simply wants you to get it. Don't you like when people get it? You try to explain something to somebody and they get it. They get it. It's like, hey, I'm allocating this amount of money to you. It's a lot of money. I'm giving it to you. And they give you the deer in the headlight look. Did you get what I said? This money belongs to you. Really? They got it, right? They got it. They experienced that moment. And this is spiritual truth, is you want to have a lot of I get it moments. I get it. I get it. Because when you get it, when you really understand it, it's called spiritual comprehension, you can live life differently than you did before. You think differently. The Bible calls that the renewing of your brain, the renewing of your mind. And for us to comprehend how to lay hold of what is ours, which is given to us in Christ, if you want to truly honor God, if you want to truly honor Him, it's not putting yourself at a food line on the Thanksgiving meal that Grace Lighthouse Fellowship serves. That is a good thing to do. But that's not honoring necessarily. That's not the only way you can honor God. Here's how you honor God. If you want to truly honor God, receive Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. All right? You want to honor Him because what He said is, I have Him for you. I sent my own Son to face a brutal death, to face brutal rejection from this planet that I created in the image of God. I created these people in my image. They rebelled against me. However, I love them enough that I'm going to send my own dear Son from heaven to pay a price for them that they could never pay. And by believing that He did that for every person, that's enough to save your soul for all eternity. That's the truth. And so if you want to honor God, make sure that you receive Christ as your own Savior. And then you want to live out that life that God has given to you. And you don't do that without His help. You do that with the power of His precious Holy Spirit that He deposits in every human being who trusts Christ as their Savior. If we do this, we comprehend our true confidence because of Him and through Him. This is a relationship. People say you have to have a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God is one that you can grow in understanding, that you know what belongs to you. And we understand our true identity as part of His family. Up on the screen are some verses from the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to read these this morning. The apostle says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width in the length, in the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." If there was ever a moment for an exclamation point times 50, it would be right here. This is exciting, amazing news that God has put on record for you and I to enjoy right now, October 27th, 2019. Back of the bulletin, you'll see a few points. They're going to be up on the screen, and I'd like to just to develop them before we head into the time at the Lord's Supper. I really believe that this passage declares to us what the believer's birthright is. This is your birthright. It's more than information on a certificate. This document, this portion of the book of Ephesians tells you what God has for you. Number two, this also reminds you of the strength you need to continue to know how to appreciate your birthright. And number three, how you continue to grow in expectation of what God wants to do in and through your life until you see Jesus. Isn't that just awesome? When you think of that, God has you covered inside and out. He gave you the right. The Bible says God is the beginning. Let me go there first and then I'll read you that note. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, speaking about Jesus, John's Gospel talks about the person of Jesus Christ. And the one condition that John's Gospel points out is that you have to personally believe him. See, I can't see belief. God does, though. You know, we might see the byproduct of someone's faith growing, but God truly sees the heart. He knows if you've believed him or not. And we don't have to be all uptight and nervous about that. I invite people in this church every day to receive Christ as their own, but I can't verify it 100%. If you tell me you did trust Christ, I believe you. I just go with that. If you say, I have trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I know he died for me. I know he rose again for me. And I know he's coming again. I trust that. He paid for my sin debt in full on that cross. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'm going to bow my heart and say, God, thank you for that. And the believer really is kind of living out his life of gratitude. There's a lot of things that get in the way of gratitude every day. Some cuts you off, right? Cuts you off in that highway. You don't feel all that grateful, right? Somebody says something to you unkindly. Doesn't that seem the perfect opportunity to say something in return, right? How many times we just have a hard time holding our own tongue and saying it? Because, well, they made me feel that way. I'm going to make them feel this way. And I'm not telling you, you know, I'm not saying be a doormat and let people walk all over you either. So just make sure that you don't hear me saying that. But I'm saying that sometimes people are rude. And the Bible does say that a gentle answer turns away wrath. So there are times where you need to answer back in a loving way. I know that in my marriage, if I have an unkind tone and she answers me back with a kind word, guess what? It hurts. It hurts. I realize what she's doing is she's causing me to realize that that was an unkind way of speaking. And so, and I've only done that once in our marriage. Okay? Okay, we don't keep score in our family. We just keep going. But speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, about verse 10, John writes this, speaking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. You want to see the big picture of Jesus Christ's power? Read the book of Colossians. But anyway, this kind of gives a little bit of a preview. And the world did not know him. Can you imagine God making a world as amazing as this world is? Even it's got challenges. Look what's happening right now in the state of California. These wildfires. Life is vulnerable, and don't play with it. You and I don't know what a day will bring forth. And that's why it's so important that we're saved forever. And that can be settled right now. You can make sure you know Christ. So the Bible says that he came to his own. In other words, he came to his own nation. God has he had and has a select group of people known as the nation of Israel. And God has a unique purpose, and he still has an appointment to use them on the planet. Right now, they're kind of set temporally aside because of this very thing. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But God doesn't stop there. Jesus says, my Father is always working. So people can reject God, and God is still working. So God, I love the fact that God can do things where people say, you're not welcome. And he says, okay, I'm going to go where I'm welcome. I'm always working. And he can still use those people who are standing against him in opposition of him, and he can still use those for his purposes. So nothing is outside of God's control and his sovereignty. He can use his enemies, and the scripture is very clear about that. God is so long-suffering and patient. So long-suffering. And it says here, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, just because my wife and I decided to spend a lifetime together, we believe marriage is a lifetime commitment, and I'm committed to her forever until the Lord calls us home or the rapture happens, which I'm hoping for the rapture because we can go together. That'd be awesome. And Jesus Christ is good in his promise. Don't deny the fact that Christ is coming again. and he can call up his church. In the meantime, while you and I sit around here and we serve him and we wait, we are just, as we think about him, that he's coming again, we hasten his coming because it motivates us to get out there and witness to more people and tell them about this amazing, awesome love that he has. You don't have to earn it. You have to receive it. That's worth knowing that today. It's like when those shoe boxes go out across the world. Can you imagine these kids? How much for that box? How much? They don't even think about money. They just receive that box. It's like that's why Jesus honors children, because they come unencumbered. They come with this, like, I just want it. Where's mine? You know, it's like we should be having a little bit of like a childlike faith all the time. Jesus, I'm coming to you again. I know. I continue to do things that I struggle with, but I'm coming. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. Don't stop coming to him. Keep coming. And I mean that in your private prayer life, in wherever you are, in the car. Just keep your eyes open when you're praying. People, I got to pray. Okay, can't do that now, but you can. You know, there's a posture of prayer for all of us. We can certainly pray driving. We can pray kneeling. We could pray standing. And even some cases, those in Scripture fell face down and honored and worshiped God. So there really is no right or wrong position of how you can pray. But as you continue to seek the Lord in your life, God does. He's doing some great things in this church. I am so thankful for the life that's here because of him. We keep Christ as the center of our celebration week after week. And we're getting to love each other. This is the beautiful thing about this church, is that people care about each other because they're seeing that this love is being poured out in their own heart. And I just see so much generosity coming through these people. Like, you guys are awesome. I don't want to be without you. This is just so good. And people are blessed. And it's like, I never knew this. I never knew this my whole life. I didn't understand this grace. I didn't get it. I've just lived in this way of trying to just fight my way. And then God brings me into this church. And I see, like, I've missed so many years. And I've been trying to earn it my whole life. And I am so done with that. I'm getting in on the good stuff. And it's by the grace of God. And that's why we talk a lot about we build one another up in our most holy faith. This is God's holiness that he can give away freely because he has a perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And the person who receives that sacrifice understands that they need him as their Savior. God does amazing things in that person. And that's why you got to keep growing and keep learning. Anyway, I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. You think about the origin of fatherhood. God doesn't have a father. He is the father of all. He defines it. If I get good cues of how to be a good dad or a good father or a good caregiver, I get it from my heavenly father. And He blows away my fatherhood at any point. He is over all. He provides the way to become his true child here on earth. Everything begins with him, both in heaven and in earth. And he sends his son Jesus to rescue fallen humanity. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. He is part of the Trinity. He's fully God and fully man. He did not become God. He has always been God. God can operate in three persons and still do precisely what his plan entails and never for once not become God. That's our God. Christ is fully God. He's fully man. He succumbed to the same stuff that we did. He bled. He got hurt. His feelings got, I'm sure at times when he experienced rejection, he knew that pain of being rejected. You have an advocate in Jesus Christ. He is one who sympathizes with every one of your weaknesses. You are never backed in a corner that Christ can't get you out of it. All right. He will be with you in that corner and he will lead you out. That's something that you have to know. And so sometimes we forget these things, and people do. Sometimes we do make a mess of our life. But just remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? And I, in so much that I think this is important to note, where Paul refers in the verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Guess who's also part of God's family? The angels. The ones who chose to obey him. The other ones, including Satan, who chose not to, they are out. But God's family is massive. You and I just get to be part of it because we're created in his image. Paul goes to go on to say in the book of Corinthians, which I found this like, are you kidding me? This is what's ahead? The apostle says to a struggling carnal church, and carnal is a way that to simply say, this is a believer who isn't getting it, who isn't getting Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and they're still living for their old, dead sin nature. And Christians, unfortunately, can still cave into that old nature. They can still do things that they realized, I shouldn't have done that. And they can develop lifestyles and patterns that take them out of really knowing the blessing of God. But God makes good on his promise. That's why Paul would even say that some are even going to be saved as by fire. In other words, they're going to have nothing to show in their Christian life. They're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to have a lot of tears. I can't believe that I wasted my life on stupid pursuits, and I tried to meet my own needs and didn't let God meet them. This is something, and I'm talking to this guy right here too, that I want to be smart, and spiritually speaking, I want to be smart. But when Paul says we're going to judge angels, I really believe that you and I are going to have a place in eternity when this is all happening, that the what God did in us in saving us, that we show forth a picture of salvation to fallen angels. That we didn't listen to those fallen angels. We didn't believe all their lies. Do you know how Satan likes to play with your brain and whisper junk into your head and tell you things? And some of that's coming from you anyway, right? And if you don't build good things into your thinking, scripturally speaking, you are susceptible to Satan's lies. The Bible clearly says, Jesus says this, he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan is very active in trying to destroy human beings. Just look at the heroin epidemic. You think of our future down at this new property. See, we're kind of buried in this building, and most of us know that. Yeah, we are a happy people, and I love it. But I cannot wait till the day that this church gets to meet on a visible property that says Jesus Christ is Lord. And God put us right there on Cranberry Highway to tell that story until he comes. It is a great thing. And so we want to understand so much here that you need to know your birthright as a believer. See, God gave you the right to become his child because of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is come on his terms. Recognize that his shed blood was spilled for you, not just for the world. We don't believe in a universalism here. I do believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, but every person needs to say, he's mine. That's it. That's the key thing. So I don't buy into universalism because God wants people to experience him and know him. Why can Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you? Because you didn't appropriate the sacrifice. That's the key. And so we want to get to that place, that we want to grow up into this most holy, awesome faith that we have. You know, I say to myself at times, like, I'm not going to get excited again, and I can't help it. And let's go to the next component here of your development in mind, the believer's strength. The believer's strength is as you get to know the Word of God for yourself, and we emphasize in this church of keeping Scripture in context. There is a huge Bible in that. There's tons of chapters. There's stuff written specifically for the nation of Israel. And we can learn from that. And we need to pay attention to how God dealt with Israel in the past. We also want to look at how God deals with the Gentile nations. Those are just nations that presently may just be in existence along the world. And there are many believers in there. See, God calls out believers. Every time a person says, I trust Christ as my own, guess where they go? Into the church. Whether they show up in a building or not, God says, they are part of my church. That's why if somebody's on whatever, YouTube, and they see this video that says Christ loves them and he died for you and you need to receive him as your own Savior, and they say, dear God, I receive you as my own Savior and I trust that you died for me and I want to be with you forever and thank you so much for loving me, that person immediately gets placed into the church. Now, we would want that person to grow in an environment like this. See, this is like the church visible on planet Earth. This is where we get to do the good stuff and work this out and feed 200 people and build a building and all these type of things that make us feel so much more that we're a part of what God wants to do. Because there are people in this building right now who've been directly rescued out of sin because of people in this church that reached out to them and said, come, come, just come, all of you, who you are. You telling me that Christ didn't die for that too? He died for that too. And you need to lay hold of that. And so the believer's strength is given to us by the Holy Spirit, that He would grant you, look at what God wants to do here, He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Maybe Chris can put that one on the screen, verse 16. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit. His Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. It's God who indwells believers. The Bible says that if a man does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Him. Not every person on this planet is a child of God. I'm just going to tell you, they are created in God's image and God wants to save them. But just because if someone's cursing their face off every day and they have no use for God, they don't want to know God. I mean, they're not God's child, but they can become God's child. This is the awesome news. You can become God's child. And God loves to birth new babies. He loves creating, but He also loves giving life. See, that's why Peter calls in Peter's epistle, he says, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word. See, babies need nourishment. It's like, I remember my kids, like, there was one place they liked to be with their mom feeding. They were like very happy. It's like, don't bother me. You know, Dad, you can't pick me up right now. But because babies need that and they like to be held. And I think new believers need that. And we're talking about a new believer's Bible study here. Moving forward into the future is that some of you need to be grounded. You don't really know that's all that belongs to you. You keep trying to make it up. And you get that from the Word of God systematically. You get that and understand that. And I encourage you, don't forfeit that opportunity to grow. And you grow best with people. YouTube is great. Google's great. I use it all the time. But it's no replacement for fellowship with human beings who love Christ. So He's saying here that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Do you realize God is rich? Just look at this world. Look at the color design. Look at the foliage. Just look at color. Look at animals. Look at the animal kingdom. Look at the variety. Insects, fish, ocean. You tell me that our God is not so amazing. Some of these nature programs, I'm like, where did those animals get that knowledge? Oh, they just evolved accidentally? Absolutely not. Pit of hell lie. And so if we can see how Satan is so he wants to take the human, God's creation, away from God, so much so that He dumps lies into them. And we call it education. We call it stuff within the public school system that says, oh, we're doing people a favor by telling them this stuff. We're helping them learn to think freely. No, because most of those people learning to think freely are not. They're finding themselves hopeless and they stick a needle in their arm because they feel so empty inside. They feel so empty inside. They got to go find a high. They got to go get some psychological fix because life is just too painful because they've been told that they're just an accident, that they evolved from some blob of soup somewhere on some coast a billion and 50 billion years ago. It's just, and then we don't lay hold of the fact that no, God has a unique and perfect plan and He's saving people. He wants you with Him forever. And so in order for us to get this, look what has to happen. If you're going to be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ will dwell in your hearts, He must dwell there through faith. You've just trusted Him. Faith is believing what you cannot see, but you got the confidence that it's there. You know Him. See, because Christ makes His presence known. I have people that I'm texting with in this church on a regular basis, and I know some of these people have been fighting some really rough battles, but they're building themselves up in Scripture. and their phone is just this machine of scripture coming back at me. And I'm like, this is how you grow. You're meditating on the Word of God. You're thinking God's thoughts that belong to you. And that way you start to grow. And when Paul says here, being rooted and grounded in love. See, what happens, I grew up in Hanson. My dad's here today. And one of the things I would notice in the summer months, even if it was like a drought, it's like, oh yeah, the town of Hanson's like a water bans, all this stuff. And, you know, you see the signs, can't water, can't do, you know, you can't run your garden hose. But we lived nearby a river. And it was amazing how green the grass would be by the river. It would be amazing to see the vibrant trees that were rooted deeply. And those trees are still rooted deeply. Do you realize that even in Israel today, there are olive trees that are 2,000 years old still pumping out olives? That's pretty cool. Because roots grow deep. And as you grow deep, you pump out. Okay? That's the idea. You pump out. You produce. And you want that. And you got to fight against a lot of stuff. But see, you don't fight alone. You fight with the Word of God, and you fight through the power of the Holy Spirit. You yield yourself to God that you may be able to comprehend. See, God's saying, all of you, every person in this building right now, including all the people in the world who are part of God's true church, not just because they show up in a building, but because they've accepted Christ, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. A saint is a person who trusted Christ. This is where denominations can do damage to terms and words, and that way you don't really understand. Well, I'm not a saint, because like say that guy sits on my dashboard, and we call him whatever saint, and we drive down the street, and he kind of bobs. You know, that is not a saint, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But that sometimes people put their status in it, that a saint is somebody who was Mother Teresa, and she worked so hard, and I could never be like her. You know, really, Satan uses that against you too? Isn't it better to accept your sainthood status based on the Word of God? That God declares you righteous, and that makes you a saint. Minus works. Now, if you go and you serve God through the power of His Holy Spirit, praise God. God's going to reward you for that. That's what you want to be thinking about. I get plenty of times, I got the days that God's allowed me to invest. And I want to use those days wisely. And God wants you to comprehend. That's why we're calling this morning. What did I call this? Comprehending our confidence. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height? In other words, the depths of the love of God are so great. They're so vast. And Amanda sang about it, and Beth sang about it this morning. How deep the Father's love for us. How deep. It's truth like this that will give you appreciation for the vastness of God. It doesn't mean that you don't need to make adjustments in your life, and the same for me too. We can always be making adjustments. But don't be so focused on adjustments that, in other words, when I finally get all this right, God will love me more. That's putting the cart before the horse. All right? You want to make sure that you understand this truth so that you can begin to grow and then make the changes that you want to make. I get it. Life is hard. I tell you every Sunday, it takes us hours in my house to get here on time and ready every Sunday. I'm thinking about getting here on Saturday. It's like my shirt doesn't get ironed, right? We don't get clothes ready at 7:45 on a Sunday morning. They're ready the night before because I think about it. I don't want to be late. I don't want to be like, oh, that guy's such a jerk. He cut me off. No, I was driving too fast and I was on his tail. Whatever. It's because, see, we blame things. We make excuses for things because we're not thinking about how to really comprehend how good God has made us. Because of Christ, and that as we settle in on these things, and this can be a lifetime process. This is called sanctification. The Bible uses that word. And as you grow in sanctification, which means that you're knowing your real purpose here, and you can navigate through life, and you're not bent out of shape every time something goes wrong. That you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. See, God's love is more than just a knowledge. It's like, oh, He loves me. Jesus died for me. No, there's depths of God's love. There is depths of invasion of God's love into your heart that you probably have yet to experience. And I believe that when the church is firing on all eight cylinders, and that we're people who are filled with God's Spirit and we're showing up, when somebody has an experience where they feel like, I was a jerk and I didn't mean to say that, and then they experience that love by those people who didn't say, get out of here, you jerk. You know, we took you in and we love you and we're going to love you. We're going to keep loving on you. And then they say, I've never been loved like this before. I've always been defensive. When I get myself in a mess or I say something I shouldn't have said, and all of a sudden I'm fighting for my survival all over again. And that becomes a way that you sort of, you cope life, you cope with your life that way. But if when you see grace in action, it changes you and it makes you aware of how God's love is so complete. And then you can settle in that, and then you can really grow. You can be you in Christ. Because these truths are backed by God, the believer should have a high expectation. Now to him is to able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly abundantly. Can God make it any more clear? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, I think about, okay, how does a new facility get built? Simple numbers, that's a $1 million project. I'm just saying. Are we looking to spend a ton of money? No, we just want a place for people to meet and build. But it's going to take money to build a church building. It just takes money. It costs money to buy these chairs. This rug costs money. These tables cost money. Life costs money. Who can provide for us? Yes, you should be like unison. God, right? And so it doesn't really matter so much about that, but we should be expecting God to lead and provide. Because the basis for our confidence is not so much that it's some people I think try to, and I mean no disrespect here, it's like you gotta like rub God's belly and make him give you stuff. That is not, you don't want to be in a relationship that you have to manipulate God. He already poured out his love for you. He already demonstrated his love for you. He paved a way. He sent his son. Will he not, the Bible says, graciously give us all things? That's why Jesus would teach those on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, Israel, you're the light of the world. He's saying that's your purpose. You were to light the way for everybody to see, and you're not using this as you should. And he talks about how, you know, you worry about what's coming next, and, you know, and your mind gets consumed about the future. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here. I see the same tendency in me. But when I rest on a promise like this, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When I think back of the last 50 days that have happened and a few of the months before that that led up to this transaction of this land, if you haven't watched the video of our land celebration a few weeks ago, just go to gracelighthouse.org. It's right at the top. It's, I believe, the website address is right in the bulletin. You should watch this video because guys like Donnie were there and he spoke about watching God do something that was like, we weren't in charge. And, you know, like newsflash, we weren't in charge, okay? But to watch that process unfold and to see how this land has been sitting there for about 50 years, owned by the same owner for the last 20, never been developed, and suddenly it's going to become a beacon for Christ? It's just amazing. It's amazing. And I think with that in mind, if you want to comprehend what belongs to you, go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and meditate on that this week. Think about this with me. Let's pray together on this. Let's stop and pray right now before we enjoy the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us this morning with your word. I praise you for your amazing word that is it's a constant spring of life. It's like it's the word that washes over us. It reminds us, and this is what it's all about, the washing and the renewing of your word. We were saved by Christ, but we need daily washing. And as we wash our minds in these truths, we become more apt to enjoy what belongs to us, that we would be able to comprehend what truly belongs to us. Father, I thank you, and I pray for anyone in this room this morning who says, Pastor, I do want to get more of this. I want to understand more. Is that you this morning? I just invite you to raise your hand. No one looking around, and I'm not embarrassing anybody here this morning. But if that speaks of you, like, I want to know more, this is a perfect day for you to say, I want to know more. I want to comprehend. Anybody here this morning says, Pastor, please just pray for me. I get it. I see those hands. Father, thank you that you answer prayer. I pray for those who say, God, I want to know more. I want to comprehend this breadth and this depth and this height and this width. I want to understand more of your great love, that I would be so captivated, that I would be heeding the words of the Apostle Jude that says, keep yourself in the love of God. Lord, we keep ourselves in your love as we get to know you better through your word. We stop chasing experiences and we settle in on the one who provides the true experience of life. Thank you. Father, bless those here this morning as we celebrate your table. Cause our hearts and mind to enter this time with gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.